This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasothi. For his monthly show, Dr. John Benloy, US licensed marriage and family therapist, is here to discuss working together for better families. It's not one of those slogans you see on posters. This is real. Okay, you've got a sort of a conference coming up as well, and we're going to be talking about that. Before that, joining us also, Azza Yasmin, who's a relationship therapist. How are you today, Azza?
I'm good, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Who's a relationship therapist, Azza?
Who's a relationship therapist? Somebody that, well, we see clients that have relationship issues. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be married. It could be with your child, it could be with your grandparent, it could be with any member of your family, and even with people or colleagues at work. So, okay. Relationships.
Huh.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
How different is Azza? How different is Azza's work compared to yours, Dr. John Ben?
Very similar. A lot of crossovers, but mine is trained in the US, and they actually have a name for it. They call it marriage and family therapy, whereas Azza is licensed in counseling. But then we can cross over and we can learn each other's specialties.
Okay. So you are organizing this conference, which is coming up soon.
Under the Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, Malaysia.
Okay. And why, what, you know, you've decided to bring all experts together to address this problem as far as family and marriage is concerned, right? Mm-hmm. When a family comes to seek therapy, what are some of the usual issues, Azza?
Well, it could be relationship, or there is a difference in the structure of the family. Something happened, for example, it could be divorce or separation. It could be someone passed away or is very chronically ill, or it could be finances. It could be a lot of things where the family, that change itself, that family just can't cope with it. There's no coping skills, and the changes can be big and can be small, but it's just they can't cope with it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of issues that come in.
But most of the time one person comes, either husband or the wife, or maybe husband and wife, but you don't, do you really see the family as a unit?
Yeah. I see families as a unit, and sometimes I see mothers. Currently I'm seeing a family where the father passed, so the family's a bit, they don't know how to organize themselves because dad's gone. So that's kind of things that I see.
Mm-hmm. It is very typical for people to call in and want to come in on their own. So we need to educate them up front that if these are relationship issues, eventually we're going to need to work with your relationships anyway. Mm-hmm. So because we're specifically trained to be able to see the relationship at the same time, then you can come in if you feel safe enough. If people don't feel safe enough for whatever reason, then it's fine to come in individually first. But again, if it's a relationship issue, it's much quicker and more effective if the relationship comes in. That means whoever the parties are involved to make up that relationship issue.
It was just in yesterday's show we spoke about mental health services in Australia and in Malaysia. We're sort of doing a comparison in our psychiatry series yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, in Australia they have community mental health teams going out to homes rather than you having to come and see a therapist, right? Mm-hmm. Do you not think that it'll be a lot better for you then to go to families rather than for them to come to you?
It depends also. Going to families, typically those are when the families are in trouble and they call you, right? And they don't have the resources necessarily to be able to come to you. But coming to you also has some benefits in the sense that the families don't get intruded upon as much, or they have the volition to come to you, and so they also have the volition to do the work, and that's important. There is such a thing in my field, in the U.S. and Canada, called in-home family therapy. So in-home family therapy, we do go to homes. And sometimes they can be kind of dangerous neighborhoods,
yes.
And it's interesting and challenging work. Some people like it more than others.
I'm sure. But you need to make sure that you're safe.
You
first of all.
That's right.
But then given the stigma and taboos, sometimes I think maybe it may be a better idea for you to go to the home, because stigma is huge in this country when it comes to mental health. And, you know, seeing you coming out, bumping into you at the therapist's place is not something you really want to, you know, seen to be at. So that's why I'm thinking, if you were to go into the home, there's a possibility that stigma, you know, will not be an issue. Azza, based on your experience, for an example, this family who has just lost the father, how do you deal with the family?
I met the mother first. I had to deal with her first, and because that's a relationship issue that she lost. She lost her husband. And so I said, the first thing I said, how are you? And she goes, that's the first time somebody said that to me. Because she's been holding on so hard to be strong for her children. And she forgot about herself. So I had to talk to her. And then she says, I think we need to see family and see, you know, who else is in your family. And I did. And because there are children under age, I said, my space is small, unlike John Ben's place. My space is small. So I said, okay, let's go. And it was comfortable for the kids to open up and all that. So it was a good time. And they found it very effective. And then the mother, they enjoyed it. And a lot of things came out that was never said. So it was good to have a conducive place, especially, and safe, to just talk. And then inadvertently, the safety extends after I leave as well. So and that's all they need. They just need to talk and open up and reassure and acknowledge certain feelings and be supportive. And that's basically the skills that I imparted on them.
What about in when it comes to a family who's having problems financially? And that is a big thing. I mean, it plays into families and their troubles like, you know, crazy. I mean, what's been your experience, Dr. John Ben?
Yeah, sex and money. Those are typically the top two issues that couples will identify as issues that need help, some professional help. When on the money side, it's not just about money. It's about how you feel as a husband or how you feel as a wife. It's about schooling. You know, it's about how do you compare yourself to your neighbors, access to services, etc. So it's about your background. Perhaps you come from a wealthier background and then you married into a situation whereby then you got less resources, so you're not used to that. And also, money is also perception. You know, you could be earning a certain amount and actually feel quite happy because you're living within your means, or you could be earning a lot and still not be happy. So it's not just about the absolute amount. And money enters into the conversation, can impact parenting issues, can impact holiday issues, where do you go for holiday, can impact gifts, what gifts, how much do we give, how much don't we give to my parents, no, give to my parents, you know, that sort of thing. So it's pervasive, but typically it's never isolated to money alone. It's money and money problems showing up in a variety of situations.
It manifests in very in different ways.
Yes.
So do you usually deal with just the couple or, you know, the whole family as well?
The majority of my clients are individuals and couples. And then when I can, I will work with families as well. The kinds of families I tend to work with a big group, would be for adult children. So children in their 20s and 30s that sometimes have parents that have been arguing all their lives. And so now they're old enough and mature enough to say, enough is enough, let's go in and let's get this sorted. It's the adult children to bring in the whole family. Or when you work with families, sometimes it's younger children, right? So they need parenting help, for instance. I don't get to work so much with teens and parents. That's a little bit rare. But I think that's a very important age for family therapy, because this is when teenagers want to have their own expression, their own time, their own friends. So coming in and talking with parents, you know, about issues, it's rare. it's rare. So the community side will be able to address that demographic better.
When you say community side, what do you mean?
So community mental health, as you were saying, in Australia.
Okay. Yeah. And the aim of this conference is actually to bring specialists together to look at, better relationships amongst families and, your whoever else you're in contact with as a multidisciplinary team.
That's right.
I mean, you have a whole team of family therapists, relationship therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, the list
counselors,
yes, and the list just goes
social
on.
Social workers, yes. Lawyers.
And, yeah, I was about to say, it's not just towards the mental health. We are looking also at the legal side, which is not mental health. But legal side, if mom and dad wants to get divorced, also they need to know what's going on. And then we will take the children. It says, mom and dad's not going to divorce because of you. So that's the mental health side. So that's the multidisciplinary side. I think we also have, we're getting some financial advice.
Aging.
Yes.
Aging and financial counseling. There'll be a symposium on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we just had a report released by University of Malaya on mm-hmm. elder abuse.
Okay.
And it was related to finance.
Okay.
A lot of the elderly being abused because of money.
Right.
And they released that report to say that Malaysians are definitely going through that. There's no channel for them. They don't know where to go to talk about these things. Because if you talk about it, you're running down your child, mm-hmm. Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's a very tricky situation. And being very filial piet is a huge thing in this country. So if you are unable to, look after your parents or, you're stigmatized and all of that. So it's a lot of issues to deal with in Malaysia, don't you think? Culturally, we're very different as well.
Yeah.
And that adds on to the pressures on the family unit.
Yeah, the values that we were brought up with and the expectations as you grow up and as you get older and the needs and wants. And if these expectations are not met, then the frustrations, the stress, and the money is just
a symptom.
At the end of the day, we need to talk to each other and see a way out, a better coping skills. And with the conference, we're trying to say that, you have these resources and learn from us, especially in the conference. We've got everybody here together. Pick the symposium
and workshops.
And workshops that you want to go to that's valid to you and learn and make friends and contacts that can help you that can help you with your family. And it could be different issues. It could be financial, it could be legal, it could be mental health, it could be all three. Mm-hmm. And we're putting everybody at one place.
Yes.
So you don't have to go from one department to another to another to another and then waste money and time and get frustrated. Mm. Everybody's concentrated here. At the conference,
not only multidiscipline, we are also covering some religious talks and different departments. So basically, we don't want to be sidelining anyone in particular, but let's see how we can be collaborative across disciplines, races, gender, etc.
Okay.
So we are calling it helping families together towards a systemic and multi multidisciplinary. Collaboration.
Okay, fantastic. You got the title right.
Yes, it's a mouthful.
Well done, John Ben.
If you have a question on this multidisciplinary approach to family problems, give us a call. The number 0377 109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 0178 789 8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivisuri. It's our Health and Living segment. Dr. John Ben Loy, US licensed marriage and family therapist, in the studio together with Azhar Yasmin. She's a relationship therapist and they're discussing how we can work together for better families. Obviously, many issues are more like a messy, colourful oil painting than a simple black and white, right? Mm. Do families or patients, for an example, do they turn to one source for help? And if so, who's your first point of contact?
Yeah. So
based on your experience.
Well, in my training, because we are systemically oriented as family therapists, we think of the system, we are specifically trained to know how to collaborate. So if a family comes in and there is a social worker involved, I would get in touch with the social worker. If there is a psychiatrist involved, depending on how serious the case is, if it's sort of no longer actively taking psychoactive medication, then there's no need. But if it's active, then I want to be able to collaborate with the psychiatrist and have these various people be collaborating with me. And I'm sort of the case manager, if you will.
I think given our culture, most of us don't even go there. We would confide in a family, a family member, or a friend, perhaps even a neighbor, someone who we trust, right? How do we then move on and get everybody to understand that you can actually go and get good help to help solve these problems? I mean, we read of suicide cases, husband and wife, you know, committing suicide because of financial problems. Mm. You know, how do we get them to understand that there are other options rather than just suffering in silence?
Yes. Can I say this? Actually, the system needs to learn how to collaborate first. So when the public comes, they're not necessarily aware of what the offerings are, what the needs are. So if I am, say, a mental health professional and I'm working with someone with mental health needs, and then there's also a financial need, oh, hang on a second, who do I talk to about their financial need? The first thing I have to ask is, can you even afford to pay my fees? Mm-hmm. If you can't, how can I refer you? Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So rather than just say, oh, you can't afford my fees, I'm sorry, right? We have to have a whole list of referral sources, you know, for various needs. And so over the years of practicing, I have gotten to know quite a good handful of who I think is, you know, are very good medical doctors, lawyers, financial counselors, psychiatrists, gynecologists, and of course, you know, BFM's own urologist. Because from time to time, we need to refer and we need to learn. So, yeah, that's
but
right.
How do we incorporate the informal support, like the neighbor or the uncle and the aunt, you know? That's very important.
Yes.
How do you get them into this ecosystem?
Do you want to speak of that? Because, Azar.
Yes. I think it's about just empathy and caring. If your neighbor is in caring enough, for example, my neighbor here, he was moving and his in-laws was coming back from Australia, and you know the dog was yapping because he was missing their human parents and all that. So I just stepped in and I said, "Would you like me to help you? Because I'll take your dog and I'll take your children." Well, because when the parents came, they were not well and they had to go be whisked straight to the hospital. Something wrong with the heart or something. So I said, okay, come in. I will look after your children. So that really lightened the load for them. And I said, even if your children need to stay overnight, that's fine. You know, we'll get, because they were next door. So we'll just go in, take the pajamas, whatever. Even we will stay with you. That's fine. So I think it's about more of a empathy and understanding and no judgment and just giving help without knowing that you're going to receive anything back.
There are friends like Aza out there for people. And as the, you know, mental health provider, as the family helper, the professional one, we have to ask the question, is there anyone you feel safe with? Mm. So in my intake forms, there's a line, who are the supportive people in your life? Name them. So I'll actually discuss that in the first session. You know, let's talk about Sarah. Let's talk about, you know, Abing, whoever, right? You know, how are they? Are they safe for you? Do they know about this issue? Who is the best emergency contact? So the social support is extremely important. Now, in some schools of training, they're so individually oriented, they will work with the client, but they won't work with the system. And that's where systemic therapy is different. The systemic therapy empowers the client to bring in the system. So I have brought in good friends. I have brought in neighbors.
Yep.
I have brought in quote-unquote aunties, mm-hmm. yeah, that are part of the family, mm-hmm. what we call fictive kin. So this is your environment, right? Bring your environment in, and then what we do as relationship therapists is to be able to help the relationship support you, and also vice versa, you to support the relationship. We do that quite naturally, at least in my set of practice. And I think that's actually very Malaysian. It's perhaps the adoption of Western technologies in healthcare that's a little bit siloed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to blame anyone, but perhaps it's just, you know, the way the systems are. We have to specialize. But there is someone who needs to say, hey, guys, we need to get together, you know, and think together and work together. And that's what this conference is all about.
I think urbanization has, you know, added to that.
Yeah.
Us being more distant from one another. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't know our own neighbors anymore. We're moving towards that sort of culture as it is in the West. We weren't like that.
Yes.
We still Agreed, are not. Yeah. We still have it in us to, mm-hmm. to care and support.
Yes, we have traffic jams going back to Kampung and all that. Yes. So we still do have that.
Yes, we do.
We still have it. We haven't lost it completely.
No, we haven't.
You know, our family ties is still there. But in the time of need, when we are here in the urban area, who do we speak to?
Correct.
Luckily, we have phones. We have Skype. But sometimes grandma doesn't even know how to do Skyping.
Of course.
But but yeah, we're not lost just yet. Even my practice nowadays, because I've met John Ben and I've learned from him, that's the collaborative portion. Yeah, my practice has changed to systemic. I bring in everybody mm-hmm. that's fitted. I had a client that brought in 5 of her friends in, and then because I'm there with her system and her friends, and these friends are everywhere, you know, PJ, Bangsa, they live everywhere. But when they came in and we were talking about the topic that was at hand, they learned as well. And inadvertently, when they go out of my room, they learn and are more able to support her. So family can extend to these sort of people as well.
And do you see people very willing to come forward though?
It's how you talk to them.
I'm just trying to think about whether my 5 friends will come with me to see the therapist. I'm just wondering, why are you dragging me there, you know?
Yeah.
Why should I be a part of this problem, you know what I mean?
We have to answer that question, right? We have to be clear about why, right? Of course, once the conversation begins, there'll be an answer to multiple whys, not just one.
Yes.
Right? We're here because we love you. We're here to add a perspective from us. So, for instance, here's something that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I could see a couple, 2 people, and I could see 2 people, and it's a different conversation. So, here's the... Okay, so a couple, I could be working with their relationship. I could see 2 people married, but one person is just observing. And that's a different piece of work. Mm-hmm. So I'm, let's say, working with the husband on specific issues, and then the wife is there to observe, to support, and to see what I'm doing with the husband. Or I could have the husband and the wife together working the dynamics of their communication and interaction. Another different kind of work. So the specialist needs to understand that there are these nuances, and it takes a long time to learn. My difficulty and challenge that we're trying to address here is that we need to start to respect the various specialties and their nuances that they have. We need to learn from each other and be more humble.
And do you see professionals coming forward to back you up in this? Lawyers, for an example, are they happy to come forward?
Yes, I believe so. The ones that I work with, and they just happen to be family as well. Mm-hmm. They do. Some do come to me and say, Azza, I can't get them to sign this. And then when I come in and have a session with them, and then they're a lot clearer, they're calmer, all their whys are answered, and they're happy to sign at the same time. So there is an emotional block sometimes with lawyers and clients where emotionally they can't do the paperwork. The paperwork's already there. Mm-hmm. I had a client who, you know, came in and I said, I want to divorce my husband. Okay, so the the lawyers that I was working with, drew up all the papers and everything, couldn't get her to sign. And I said, okay, give me the papers. And then so I spoke to her, what's going on, and the whys and the hows, and brought the mother in, brought everybody in to talk to her. And finally she decided, actually, no, I don't want this.
Okay.
You know, so but we collaborate, the lawyers and I, and for me specifically, I work very closely with lawyers because I'm a lawyer myself, mm-hmm. by training. So the vernacular that we use is on the same level. So the lawyers understand what's going on with their clients. Sometimes they don't know what's going on with their clients and they can't get the work done and they can't get the fees paid and they can't get this. So nothing moves mm-hmm. until I come in and go like, okay, what's going on? Let's talk. Let's sit down. It's a safe place. So yes, it really helps different industries to do their work properly.
Yeah. So you were.
I'm trying to figure out how the financier will actually come into this, but there are they're a different animal altogether.
Financial counselor,
yes.
is not a profession here. So, but it does exist in other countries.
Okay.
Their job is counseling about finances. Mm-hmm. It's not someone who is selling you a product. They have no products to sell you. They're just helping you manage your budget, helping you with behavior change.
Well, we have financial planners, but that doesn't. They don't look at the behavioral side of things, I
that's
suppose.
Right. Yeah. Mm. That's right. So, yeah, that's how the financial counselors come in. So if I am a counselor, a regular counselor, and I have no idea about finance, but another person specializes in that, we work together. So I did have a couple where they were partnered. One was very successful, and the other one was from a lower social economic background. But they were having real serious difficulties managing the difference. So I referred the one with a lower socioeconomic background to see a financial counselor, the people that I refer to, so that the partner could be trained to be able to speak budgeting, because the spending was just sort of, you know, out of control, mm-hmm. right? Or actually not wanting to spend because too afraid of things that are too expensive. Right, but not knowing that actually it's only, you know, 0.5%, you know, of the partner's
extremes.
Income.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's an example. But Azza was mentioning about vernacular, right? So you as a lawyer are able to work with lawyers quite easily, mm-hmm. And now your main work is counseling.
Yes.
So one of the challenges I think in collaborative work and helping families is to learn the language of the other specialties. So in this conference in particular, we have workshops where specifically all the speakers have been, we've communicated to them, we say, we want you to deliver your specialty so that other who don't have your specialty can learn from you. So we have psychiatrists introducing psychopathology and the DSM, which is the book that they use, right, to diagnose symptoms.
The American DSM, yeah.
That's right, the mm-hmm. American one. We have a family doctor talking about, where's the family doctor? Oh, we don't have that list. We have a lawyer helping non-lawyer professionals understand that seeing a lawyer does not necessarily mean divorce. That's what she's going to be talking about. And then we also have very clear, we also have the religious department, you know, coming to help us understand when Muslims go into the religious department, what goes on. I'm not a Muslim. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And I need to know because I get Malay Muslim clients and I need to be educated, right? So we need to educate each other. And not sort of saying, oh, well, this is not mine, that's not my area. And that creates a society that's split, right? We're not really talking. We're not working together. So learning the vernacular and then knowing how to refer, because it's not my specialty.
Yeah.
But now I know who to refer and I know which questions to ask you, because I wouldn't know. And that's how Aza and I started collaborating, because yeah. she's a Sharia lawyer.
Sharia trained.
Okay. She's Sharia trained.
Yeah, so...
So I have questions. I have no idea. Aza, please, what do I do here? Yeah,
it's true. It's true, because when I talked to John Ben about the Sharia, and I have to use words, counseling words, in order for him to understand. Because I remember writing something and emailing it to him, and it was very legal sounding. Mm-hmm. And he goes, okay, so what do you mean? You know, so I become the interpreter, if you like, between the Sharia and John Ben, and also the interpreter with the lawyers that I work with as well. And then sometimes I also sit with the lawyers when they are talking to my client. We share the client. Mm-hmm. And then they will look at me and I says, what did the lawyer say? And I said, okay, this is it. So we talk about, I talk it in layman's term. This is very simple. And then when I see people nodding heads and I'm like, okay, they understand each
maybe.
Other. Maybe.
Get rid of the jargon is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to find out a very simple thing, patient privacy. Mm. How do you manage that when you have so many people involved in this ecosystem? We'll come back and find out more up next after the Bursa Market Update. If you have a question once again or you want to share something, give us a call at the number 03-7710-9000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899. Good afternoon. It's Health and Living. I'm Meera Sivasothi. In the studio with me, Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, together with Aza Yasmin. She's a relationship therapist, and we're discussing how we can work together for better families and relationships, working together with the whole ecosystem to improve relationships as a whole. If this ecosystem makes so much sense, why haven't we done it in the past?
It takes a lot of work on the part of the professional. So that's one. And earlier we talked about learning vernacular. We need to learn more language, more specialties. So, and most of us are trained in our silos. It's already hard enough work to learn your specialty. Mm-hmm. And then you have to become aware of other people's specialties. It's hard work.
So what made you want to bring it all together?
It's my field. I'm a systemic therapist.
Really?
Yes. Okay. So is Aza.
Now he's calling himself a systemic therapist. U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, and now you're a systemic therapist.
Family therapy and systemic family therapy are interchangeable.
Ah.
Yeah, so we help systems. And I work with workplace systems too.
Okay.
And yes.
And I kind of became one because I made friends with him.
You're trapped now.
But honestly, when I changed my viewpoint to systemic and I went back to John Van, I said, my goodness, it works so, so well. And the clients get better faster. They get braver to go to have better relationships, and then if they need to go to other industries, the legal, the financial, it's easier for them to do that. So I'm amazed at systemic therapy and how good it is.
So what I'm hearing is it's just a change in mindset that's needed on all levels.
Starts with a change of mindset that you're not just treating an individual, you're treating an individual in the context of relationships.
And it's the same when you're providing a professional service, as in a lawyer, a doctor, you know, an engineer, somebody in the bank, for an example, you know, all of them need to look at this individual as a whole.
That's my bias. Mm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we got to educate the whole world.
Yes. Let's start right here.
Yeah. One step at a time. We'll get there. We'll get there.
We will get there.
Yes, we will.
Privacy issues. How do you manage that when you have so many people in this ecosystem?
Yeah. Carefully.
You don't say.
So whenever our clients need to interface with someone, when we need to interface with another provider, they have to sign informed consent. You know, that has a, what do you call it, an expiry date, you know, and also specifically you can specify how information will be exchanged. Is it one way from that provider to me, so I don't share anything with the provider, or is it me sharing information to the provider but not the other way around, or it can be mutual. And then what exactly is being shared, that's also specified. It's not just anything, right?
So how would you maintain privacy if you bring in, you know, support neighbors, for an example, or...
They sign consent.
So they all sign it. So even if you're the auntie,
that's right.
Uncle, you have to sign that consent
that's
form.
That's right. They all have to sign consent, and different kinds of consent for different things.
Okay.
And I think they also must understand what they're signing as well.
Yes.
What does it mean by just, you know, sometimes we as Malaysians, we just sign.
Yes.
Because we're going into the hall or whatever, sign attendance. So it's kind of natural. So we need to understand and talk about the content of that piece of paper that you're signing, because you are going to be part of this ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You're going to be part of helping that person, and that's far greater than...
Is that a complex form? Because if it is, then chances are people will shy away.
Mine is one page, and different one pages for different things.
Yep, mine too.
Yeah.
What is the gist or the most important, some of the most important clauses in there?
So, well, basically there must be some kind of expiry date, right? Usually it's 1 year. They have to be able to cancel. Usually, if they want to cancel the informed consent, they will write in, so we have some kind of a proof. Of course, their names, and then the person that we're supposed to be in contact with.
Yeah. Okay. So those are some of the very important stuff on the phone.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What about technology? Can we leverage on technology to spur better collaboration?
Definitely, yeah.
How?
Well, you know, rather than me having to show up, say, at a psychiatrist's office, I can call. And that's technology. That's telephone, right? Or sometimes we need to exchange information. We can have encrypted documents, you know, that can be emailed, for instance. Sometimes there could be collaboration through encrypted VoIP communication.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you see that a big problem? I mean, you can Skype, you can do all that sort of thing, you know. I can see that helping, but in terms of looking at lawyers, for an example, in that sphere, how would technology help you?
I don't know about how lawyers are using technology, but in the medical world, I mean, there's so much on collaboration through communication. Aren't there surgeries also being performed remotely and things like that? I mean, that's all private healthcare information.
It is. Radiology, so, readings done online, that sort of thing. So what are the points that should be of concern to the patient?
About what?
In such a collaboration. What should patients be on the lookout for? Because now after this show, you probably have a lot of people going out there and saying,
I am now
adopting this systemic approach.
Yes.
It's not regulated.
Yes.
Yeah, it is not regulated. And so you're opening up yourself to a lot of things.
I think the first thing you will encounter is pushback from a professional. So for instance, we had a client, we had a client come in and began therapy work. And we felt that the client needed some psychopharmacological intervention. So sent him to see a psychiatrist that we knew. Another friend got him to see another psychiatrist instead. And so upon seeing the other psychiatrist says, stop going to see the therapist.
Right.
Okay? Forget about your problem and eat these pills. You'll see. You'll get better. So, of course, the person came back and said, oh, this was our advice. And then the best we could say is, well, you have to, you know, decide for yourself what to do, but we're open to seeing you again should you change your mind. So there can be pushback from professionals who do not understand.
Who don't buy into the concept.
Into the concept of multidisciplinary collaboration. So that's the first thing. Sometimes people practice out of profit. And we need to be so careful when we're professionals. I mean, I think the word professional needs to be protected. We are here to guard the client's best interest first, not our pockets, right? That differentiates us from a business. So lead with your profession, not with your need, you know, to earn money. So definitely I want to empower the end user, the clients, to ask questions. You can always get a second opinion. Go online, ask around. Listen to BFM. Search your podcasts. I do that sometimes. I'm wondering, why do I get this? I'll search, you know, gynecologist, BFM, and I'll listen to some people talk, and I'll get a sense of who they are.
Okay. So, and what about cost? This sounds costly. Just thinking about a multidisciplinary team in a hospital sounds costly. What more in a setting like this?
Yeah. So I think the first, I'm going to get a little philosophical. Can I? Okay. You're not going to stop me anyway.
How do I stop you?
So my question is, you know, having practiced in the West and practicing here, the first question is, how much do you value life? Right. In the West, they value life a lot, maybe sometimes even a little bit too much to bring a balance into it. Living life, not necessarily afterlife, depending on what your beliefs are.
Mm-hmm. We're big on the afterlife.
We are. And so if you think that the present life is not that important, you're not going to spend so much money on it. If you think that suffering is unavoidable, you're not going to spend that much money on it. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't know, this is my philosophy, is you can move towards a healthy afterlife even with a healthy present life. At least that's how I like to live. Mm-hmm. So,
because you're Chinese, lah.
Like that, lah, what to do?
What's that got to do with it?
Healthy afterlife.
Oh, I see.
That's where I picked it up. Healthy afterlife.
Like that, lah.
I love you, John Ben.
Thank you.
Azza, would you have a message on working together for better families?
Yeah, I think if we can all come together and learn from each other for the family itself, the family will get better. And it's not even, it could be your own family member that needs this as well. So if we can just collaborate and understand, put our ego and pride aside, and just learn and make the ecosystem less threatening for the clients to come in, and then they know that we are
very good point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Less threatening, because it is going to be threatening for everybody, for that person to come in.
Yes.
And also again, like you said, the confidentiality issue, and over here in Malaysia it's about saving face, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to let them know that we do have their what's the word?
Best interest.
Thank you. Best interest in mind.
Okay. Mm. John Ben?
Yeah.
And if you could give us the website, if you'd like to be a part of the conference.
Yeah. So just a plug for Professor Dr. Bill Doherty, who is actually has done a lot of work on collaborative healthcare and mental health care. And so he's going to be our plenary speaker with great, great topics, even mass social stress, and how to help families with that. Our website is www.amftm.org.my, and it's not just for professionals. There's room for anyone. Any adult can come in and sign in. It will also be applicable to the layperson.
Okay, so that's amftm.
Correct.
.org.my.
Yes.
Thank you both very much for joining me today. And when is that conference again?
August 7, 8, 9.
Okay. That was Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, together with Azza Yasmin, a relationship therapist, talking to us about working together for better families on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.